we share, as I share this morning, I'll share a little bit about my life, and you'll get to know a little bit about me. But at one part in our life, our girls were all getting married, and it was wedding season and shower season, and it just never seemed like I could make it here to do something like this. And now that we're in the empty nest, He's opened up doors and has kept us busier than I've ever been in my life, I think. So, but we finally worked it out, and I'm so excited that for this day, on this Saturday, these next few hours, God has appointed all of us to gather together, and I know that He has something that He wants for each of us. So that's what I'm excited about this morning. I do have something before we, like, get started that I want us to do. Does everybody have something to write with? Y'all have a little piece of paper? If not, Toya's got some cute little notebooks that she worked on up here that's so precious. If y'all need one, they're right up here. So if you need something, just raise your hand and she'll bring it to you. But what I want y'all to do, just really quickly, I don't want you to think about it. I just want you to just write it down. I just want you to, like, number your paper and write down what your typical day looks like from the time that you wake up to the time that you go to bed, the things. And I know all of your days are different, but just think about your average day. Kind of like your average day, or kind of like put them all together and just think about the things that you do in an average day when you wake up, from the time that you open your eyes until you go to bed. And I know, like I said, there's life happens and things, you know, our days, they don't always look the same, but we generally kind of keep, we're creatures of habit. We kind of do the same thing each morning, and then whether it's with, you know, a job that we go to, or if we're home with children, or whatever it may be, just kind of like jot down real quickly what your day looks like. And no one's going to see these but you, so don't, like, you know, it's totally just for you. No, but you're not going to read these out loud. You're not going to show anybody. It's just strictly for you. So don't write what you think you should be doing in a given day. Just write down honestly what your day looks like. I'll give y'all just a second to do that real quick. It's so good to see so many faces that I recognize, and then to see some new ladies too that I have not met before until today. That's always fun. Y'all are some busy ladies. Okay, if y'all are still working, that's fine. Y'all can keep writing while I'm talking. But, you know, we're all women here, which means that we're all busy. Because, I mean, us women are busy creatures. And, you know, as I look around, I see probably a lot of different seasons of life that we're in. Probably a lot of mamas in the room. Y'all raise your hand if y'all are a mama. Lots of mamas. Mamas like the whole room there. You know, we've got some grandmamas, and we probably have some students and some graduates that has worked hard. Single moms, we probably all do things within our church, have responsibilities there that we do within our church, and work some, you know, work outside of our home full time. So our days are busy. We stay busy. And just all the different seasons, like I just shared the different season that I'm in now. We have three daughters. My husband and I have been married for 27 years now, and we have three girls, and they're all grown. They're all married. So we're in a different season of our life now, the empty nest. And it's not as bad as y'all, when my girls were little and I thought about, you know, when they were going to be gone, and I just can't imagine what that's going to be like, because we're so family oriented, and we do everything together, and it's not the dreaded thing that everyone, you know, as moms, we tend to think, that empty nest, if you prepare for it. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit later. But regardless of whatever our season that we find ourselves in, our days are filled up. I mean, do any of y'all just have time to just lay around and do nothing? Because I want to know what your secret is, if you do, because I mean, it's just, we stay busy. So my question, and anything that I share with y'all today, is just, it's going to be an outpouring of what the Lord's already been working and still working in my heart. I don't have any of this down. at all. We're all on a journey, but it's just things that he's been showing me and helping me with. But I really, you know, I'm in my 40s now, so I'm at that place where I'm realizing, you know, probably half, I'm like at the midway point of my life, unless the Lord was to take me home sooner. And I'm realizing that I really need to make my days count. And I really want to make my days count. And that's what I want to share with y'all first this morning, is about making our days count. Because when it's all said and done, it's not our education, it's not our bank accounts, it's not, you know, the committees that we are on or any of those kind of things that really matter. There's coming a day where we're going to stand before the Lord, and it's only the things that we did that had an eternal impact that we're going to be rewarded for in heaven. And so I don't want to spend, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to spend, I don't want to fill up my days doing stuff that when it matters for eternity, you know, I'm not going to have anything to show for it. So I want to make my days count. And so that's what I want us to look at today. I hope this time together, you know, we go to these women events and we get kind of fired up, or we get inspired. Sometimes we get convicted about a few things. And I hope that all of that happens. But I want y'all to leave this afternoon equipped. I want y'all to walk through those doors with something that is going to help y'all live in a way that's going to make you more more valuable for the kingdom of God, and you're gonna make your days count. So, what I want us to do y'all, if you have your Bible, we're gonna turn to Psalm 90. What do we do? You know, how do we make our days count? Well, in Psalm 90, I'm gonna go ahead and begin reading it, because I'm gonna read the whole psalm. It says, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and savest. Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep, and in the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it's cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." And that's saying 70 years, and if we're, you know, really, we, you know, 80 years. 80 years is a long life. "Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou in it." Okay, that was a lot for us to take in there, but two things from that passage that I really want us to just pull out of it that's going to help us to make our days count. One, we need to learn how to number our days. And number two, we need to let the Lord establish the work of our hands. So numbering our days. You know, we often think that we have our whole life ahead of us. You know, my girls, you know, they're in their 20s right now. I can think back in my 20s, and you've got these big plans of what your life is going to look like, and you know, all of these things, and goals are set, and lists are made, and all of those things. And, you know, sometimes life looks kind of like what we thought it was going to be in our 20s, but I know my life does not look anything like what. Does anybody, I mean, when you know, when it never, usually, and praise the Lord, when we walk with Him, lives look even better than what we imagine they would be. Sometimes there's a lot of heartache to get to that place where we can look back and we can see what God was doing. But our days, you know, are short. And if you've ever been touched by tragedy, that kind of helps us to understand, like, that we don't have forever and ever. You know, I personally, in our family, we've had some tragedy where my dad passed away when he was only 43. We lost my brother in a car accident when he was only 39. So when things like that happen, you realize that, you know, life is short, and we don't have forever like we think we do. So our days are few, and Scripture, you know, tells us that even the longest life is but a vapor compared to eternity. I mean, like, you open a can of Coke and it makes that little sound. That's literally like what our life is like. The longest life, you know, like in the 90s, you know, Joyce has got her little sweet little grandmas, and Miss Kitty, she's in how old? 87, so she's almost 90. We have a lady in our church. Her name is Miss Johnetta. Miss Johnetta is in her 90s. I think she's 93, and she still has two gardens, like big gardens, that she takes care of herself. And this, I'm not exaggerating. You know, preachers will get up there and, you know, sometimes they'll embellish stories to make it sound better. I'm not doing that right now. I'm telling you all the God's honest truth. She, Miss Johnetta, hit a deer, and she put it in her car and brought it home, and she skinned it out. She did. She's in her 90s. I don't know how in the world she has the strength to do that, but that's a true story. But even the longest life, I mean, when I think of Miss Johnetta and still physically being able to do these things, that's just crazy. The longest life in comparison to eternity is just but a vapor. So we really, really need to make our days count, and we need to learn how to live, you know, in a way that's going to honor the Lord, and we're going to have rewards one day. So, not, you know, knowing how to make, fill in our days with good choices and impacting the world. It's not just making good choices so that we can have a reward one day to cast at the Lord's feet, but we want to impact the world that we live in right now in the process. You know, that's why we're here. That's what He's called us to do. So, you know, how often do we just wake up each morning and we just go about our day and we make choices and we haven't even, like, thought to ask the Lord, you know, what do you want me to do today? These are my plans. This is my to-do list. But does this jihad with what you have for me to do today? And that He expects us to do that as His children, to wake up each morning and to surrender that day and ask Him what it is He has for us to do. I'm speaking for myself. It's usually like, what my first thoughts is, what all I have to accomplish that day. You know, are y'all list makers? Is anybody in here list makers? I'm a list maker, and I'll put stuff on my list that, so I know it, just so I can see something get scratched off, because half the time I go to bed with my list still with a lot still left on there. I'm not really I'm not at the best with my time management there, but I do like to make lists, but oftentimes it's what I want to accomplish or what I feel like I need to accomplish, and we don't consider what God, you know, has to say. And James, we can look in the book of James. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to jot it down, I got a lot to share today, so we're not going to turn every single time to every scripture that I bring up, but you can always write it down so you can go back, and I encourage y'all to do that, to line it up and check it out with things that I say. But in James chapter 4, that's what it teaches us to do, you know, to live a way that we're saying, Lord willing, if this is what you have for me to do, not to boast about the day and what we're going to accomplish and the things that we're going to do. So how do we know what to do? You know, how do we know what to fill our days up, you know, with? So I wish the Lord would each morning, you know, hand deliver us a little list, and it made it so simple about what it is. Wouldn't that be nice that we knew exactly every single day, you know, what it is that He would want for us? But He doesn't do that, but He does give us every insight, everything that we need from His Word to help us. So I want y'all to turn to Isaiah 50. We're going to look there real quick and see the things that He gives us to help us discern His will. That's like a big thing. We just want to know the Lord's will for my life. And we can get so caught up in knowing His will and wanting to know, like, the big things. Like, is this the job that He wants me to take? Is this the man that He wants me to marry? Is this the time that I'm supposed to retire? And we get so caught up in, like, the big things that we forget the importance of the everyday, the day-in, day-out stuff. Because we're looking at the big stuff. And the little things that fill up our days are just as important as those big things that are way out there. And Isaiah 50 helps us to get a grasp on that and to see that. We're going to look in verse 4 and 5. It says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh me morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear. To hear is to learn. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." So we look at that. Now, this is a prophetic passage that's referring to Jesus and how Jesus each day, you know, Jesus, who was God himself in flesh, but each day it's telling us that he was awakened by his Father to hear a word from him. And that word that was given to him was not for him. Who was it for, according to that passage? It was for the weary. I mean, the Lord was going to send someone in his path that day, someone weary, and because he was awakened by his Father and he wasn't rebellious and he was there to hear and to learn, God was going to give him something to give away. And he was going to give him something, not just the right thing to say, but how to say it. Because it says in that passage that that it says a word and how to say it, not just what to say, but how to say it. So the bottom line is, for us as believers, you know, our lives should be about people. And if you're introverted, or, you know, that sometimes that can be hard because, you know, people. People have, they come with problems, they come with baggage, they come with drama. We all come with baggage and drama and you know, all of us do, but sometimes we don't want to make time for people because when we do that, it's inconvenient at times. But if we want to make our days count for eternity and we want to walk in God's will, not just those big things that we pray for, but every day of our life, the day in, day out stuff, these are one of the things that we need to look at. This passage shows us that each day to wake up and spend time in His Word and let Him teach us something so that we can give it away to someone during the day. It helps us to begin to see every single encounter with eyes of the Lord through His perspective. I mean, when we do this, when we wake up each day and He gives us a word for the weary so that we know how to speak it. Have y'all ever had the right thing to say, but you said it in the wrong way? You know, I've done that. I do that a lot with my girls. I'm speaking truth and it's the right thing, but maybe I'm not saying it with kindness. I'm not saying it with grace. Sometimes we do it, you know, pointing our fingers or very judgmental. But when we wake up each day and spend time with the Lord with this attitude of, "Lord, give me something that I can give away," He'll tell us, He'll teach us how to say it too. So when we have that perspective, when we start each day with this mindset, you know, every encounter throughout the day, we see it different. You know, when we're stuck in line at Walmart, I'm the worst Walmart line picker outer in the world. I always, when we go, I'm like, "Nick, just pick the line out," because it never fails. When I pick it out, there's always going to be a problem, a price check, a this or that. We're always standing there. But instead of being impatient, when we begin to live this way, we see all these little things, not just as inconveniences, but opportunities. We'll begin to look, you know, "Gosh, am I supposed to talk to that person who's standing there? Am I supposed to?" I mean, sometimes it just takes a smile to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We don't know what someone's going through. So we begin to live our life day in and day out with this eternal perspective.
And not only just like opportunities, but when disappointments come, our first thing is not to get bitter, but it's to say, okay, God, what are you doing here? What is it that you're wanting to teach me? What am I needing to learn from this experience? And so all of these things happen when we begin to live this way. Nothing is a coincidence anymore. We begin to see everything as an opportunity. And you have something to give away. Have you all ever rushed out the door, not spent time in God's Word, and then you encounter someone and, you know, they share something with you and you're just like, trying to, you know, Lord, help me, you know, to speak life to her or to speak truth over this situation. And you do, you come up with something and you muddle something. And then when you get home, you open up the Word and read what you would have read that morning had you not rushed out the door. And it was exactly what you would have been perfect to give away to that person. I've had that happen more than once in my life. So it's just so important about that time in the morning of spending time with Him before life hits us, before we even talk to the first person, so that He can give us a word that we'll have to give away to the weary, in a way that we know how to say it too, not just what to say. So that's one way to help us to number our days, ask Him what He has planned for our days, and this comes from spending time, intimate time with Him. But then the second thing that I want us to look at is, I wanted to share too, I don't have my phone with me to read that text, but just talking about the Lord, it's all about people. It's not about us. We tend to like look at things and think about ourselves when a situation happens or whatever, but it's always about people. And there's this young man. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get it and pull it up because I don't know. I hope y'all appreciate it as much as I do. If you don't know this fellow Matt, maybe you won't. But there's this guy in our community, Brother Matt, that is absolutely precious. We know his family. We know his mom. His mom was a school teacher in the community of our first church that Nick pastored. And Brother Matt had something when he was younger. I'm not sure what it was, but he had something that took place where he had some, it left him a little disabled. And so he's a little slower. There's some things that are challenging for him, but he's totally functioning. He's actually the mailman, delivers the mail, and he is so precious. Whenever he would go to any of the revivals in the area, we always loved it when he was there because he was so joyful. He sings he only has one level and it's loud. He sings very loud and he's so precious. Encouraging, and he's one of the most sincere people you will ever meet. He's so innocent, and he's just, everything he does is just pure. He doesn't have wrong motives, and he loves the amen, and he's country. You hear him over everybody. He says amen. That's how he says it, like Gomer Pyle. And he put stuff on Facebook that is just adorable. And the other day he was he put one on there, and I just got so tickled over it. I screenshotted it so I could keep it and go back and look at it. Let me see if I can find it. I put it in my favorites so I could pull it up. Okay, first off, he had gone to see the movie War Room. Have y'all seen that movie? Everyone says it's so good. We have not been able to see it yet, but I've heard nothing but good things. Well, he mistakenly refers to it as War Zone when he's sharing this text, but he says, and I'm sharing all this to say that sometimes, as much as we want life to be about us, and we don't want to be inconvenienced with people. And sometimes in the most inconvenient times, the Lord gives us opportunities to do what I'm talking about now, to make an eternal impact. And it seems like it happens like at the most inconvenient times, not when we're ready. I have an hour and a half, Lord, send someone. And it's always when we're the most busiest, and it's usually with the people that we really don't want to deal with. And Matt, who I just think so much of, and he's the nicest person. It just tickled me when I read this. He says, if y'all haven't seen War Zone, which he meant War Room, he says, you need to see it. It was very good. I could just watch that show again and again and again. It taught me how to pray better. God tested me in the theater today. In the theater today, I saw some people sitting several seats away from me that I had a bad experience with 10 years ago. I know these people are Christians too. I never like it when I dislike another Christian human being. He's so sweet that you just, I hope y'all, it's coming across how precious he is. He says, I did pray silently, telling the Lord, if I can't like those people's ways here on earth, you will have to make me like their way in heaven. My prayer was answered, and I didn't have to face those people I don't want to have anything to do with. As I was reading this the first time, I thought the ending was going to be, they talked, and he was, but no, that's how it ended, and I got so tickled, because if we're all honest, that's how we a lot of times want those encounters to take place. We want to be like Matt, and we hope that's the ending, that we don't have to deal with it, and the Lord, you know, but that's not how it always is. I mean, sometimes we do have to go talk to those people who we had, you know, a hard time with, whatever, but Matt is so precious, and I read that, I just got so tickled, because I can relate to that. But to make our days count for eternity, we have to be willing at times to do the stuff that we wouldn't choose to fill our day with. So spending time in God's truth, being intimate with Him so that we can have a word each day, not just to keep for ourselves, but to give away to someone, whoever He sends our way. Sometimes it's our children, to just give it away to our kids, even if they're, you know, babies. To speak that word, to speak truth over their lives, but to just let Him, you know, to give that to us so that we can be prepared and equipped to give it away. And then the second thing that I want to talk about is just letting God establish the work of our hands. What do y'all think of when I say the word establish? What are some of the things that come to mind? I want y'all to answer me. Y'all can. What do y'all think of for
the lasting?
Okay, so establish is lasting. That's definitely a good. Anything else? Is it? I mean, just this isn't like hard. Just like what's a synonym for establish for that word? What? To put in place. So it's firm. You said foundation. It is. It's firm. It's not going anywhere. It's been proven. When something's established, it has like a track record, you know, like that's why they call like a business or something an establishment, because it's been there. It's not something new. It's trustworthy. When something's established, it's, you know, it's not, because sometimes things come out and new products or something, and you kind of like want to wait and see if it's gonna be just a fad, or if it's gonna be something that's, you know, worth it before you go. You know, something that's established, something that you know is firm. There's foundation. It's lasting. It's not fleeting. And this passage says, for God to establish the work of our hands, all that we do in our life, it needs to come from the Lord, and we need to let Him establish it. There's a lot of things in my life that are very established. There's things that I have done, and I've worked hard, but it may not have been, you know, what the Lord had wanted me to do. You know, it was something that I kind of over here on my own, in my own strength, because it was what, you know, I thought was going to be the best. And so, you know, we will often do that, you know, in our lives. But we need to let, according to this passage, let the Lord establish the work of our hands. And praise the Lord that even when we spend time doing something and things that perhaps wasn't what He had for us, there's nothing wasted in the kingdom of God. He still uses, you know, our mistakes. He uses our hard-headedness at times. And there's nothing wasted, but we want to walk in God's best for our lives. We want to make our days count. And so one of the ways to do that is to surrender and to always to do whatever it is to let Him establish the work of our hands.
We want the beauty of the Lord upon us, according to that passage, with the work of our hands established by Him. So when trials come and afflictions come, when we know that what we're doing, He's established in our life, the calling that we have, whatever we're walking in, when adversity hits, when hard times come, because no matter what we're doing, none of us are immune to that. That's going to happen. That's part of growing. That's how the Lord sanctifies us and grows us through trials, through hard times. So that's not anything surprising for us as Christians. So when we're established and it's rooted, it's strong, it's firm, when those things hit, that's our anchor. Have y'all ever done something that was not, if you can look back in your life and it was a season that you hadn't even sought the Lord on. It was something that you wanted to do and you had your plate full, and then as soon as the first little disagreement or the first little hard challenge or whatever it be, whatever popped up, I mean, it just about sent you in a tailspin. You were ready to quit. You were ready to throw in the towel. Maybe you did quit and throw in the towel. But when God establishes the work of our hands, it's like this firm foundation that, it stands the storm. It's our anchor. And when everything is just going crazy around us, that's where our confidence comes from. We know, well, this is hard, but this is where God, there is no doubt this is what God has me doing in this season in my life. And it helps us to be firm, and it helps us to be established. And that's where we get our hope. So there's a, are y'all familiar with that? I don't know if it's kind of an old worship song, but Better Is One Day. Y'all that song, Better Is One Day in Your Courts. Y'all familiar with that one? Do y'all know kind of like the history of where that song came from with, from God's Word? It's kind of a neat story, and it kind of ties in to some of the things that we're talking about. It's actually written by the descendants of a man named Korah. Y'all remember Korah in the Bible? Anybody remember who he hung out with? Moses. He was around Moses when the Lord was using Moses. And, sometimes when we don't understand our purpose, he kind of had a hard time with the purpose that God had for him. And sometimes we, as women, people in general, but especially as women, when we don't understand our purpose, when we don't spend time with God like we've been talking about and asking Him to reveal our day-in, day-out will that He has for us, we begin to look around at what other people are doing. And that's like the worst thing we can do. Instead of looking up at Him, when we begin to look around, we're setting ourselves up for failure, for discontentment, for bitterness, for all kinds of things. And that's exactly what Korah did. And Korah, we're not going to go and turn there, but if you want to read about him later, you can find his story in Numbers chapter 16. But he began to think that he was just as qualified as Moses and Aaron to lead the children of Israel. You know, God had given him an assignment, and that was to be the doorkeeper. But that wasn't enough for him. He was like, hey, I am just as, I'm just as awesome as Moses. And I don't know why he's letting him, be the head honcho. And I think I would be just as good at this myself. And, so he began to just get all just messed up. And not only himself, but he began to get other people around him doubting God's sovereignty and his authority that Moses and Aaron was who he had called. So, he gets other people involved. And y'all know what happens to Korah? What happens to him? He opened the ground and he swallowed. Was it just Korah that got swallowed up? No. Their families, everyone in their life got swallowed up by a hole because Korah wasn't trusting God. He thought, he thought that he deserved better. And ladies, that happens in our own life. When we begin to look around instead of looking up to the Lord, and we begin to just think little
of what God's called us to in the season. Because, you know, seasons change in our life. We're not going to always serve Him. We're not going to always do the exact same thing for the rest of our life. But that's why daily we need to go to Him. We can't just always be, well, I remember 6 years ago you told me that I was going to do this, Lord, and I'm, you know. No, every day we have to go to Him and let Him show us and teach us, spend that intimacy with Him so we'll know. Because we don't want to ever be like Korah and begin to think little, begin to think light of what He's called us to do. You know, whether it's being at home changing diapers, whether it's being a cashier at Walmart, whatever it may be, there's purpose in everything that the Lord has called us to do. And when we begin to look around at other people and think, you know, I like what they're doing better, and if I had the husband that she had, or if I had the bank account that she had, or we begin to tell God, you know, if I had, you know, a degree or whatever it may be, then I could serve you like this or whatever. We begin to think little of what He's given us to be that sphere of influence and that place that He has called us to serve Him in His kingdom. And that's exactly what happened to Korah. And God opened up the ground. They all got sucked in, and that was the end of that. And then, you know, Moses and Aaron continued on doing what the Lord called them to do. But the rest of the story, which is what I love so much and where that song that we sing, if y'all want to turn to Psalm 84, don't y'all love it when y'all get a little, I do, like when I kind of know the background between from hymns and from worship songs and things that we sing, it kind of makes such a difference. Every time I sing this song now, it has a whole new meaning to me. But this song, it's a psalm that we also sing as a song. It's where we get this. It's from this passage here in Psalm 84. It's written by the sons of Korah, probably his descendants, great-great-grandkids or whatever, the sons of Korah. And let's see, how much do I want to read here? I'm going to go ahead and just start in verse 1. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before the Lord. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." So I love that here we are, we see these generations later, the sons of Korah, they were probably told, you know, about what took place that day, but they got the message, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." He's basically saying that, you know, whatever you assign me, you know, it's better than anything else that I can come up with. You know, being a doorkeeper is better than living in the biggest palace, you know, doing the greatest things, if that is not your will for my life, Lord. And there was a Bible teacher that I had come across that had put it this way, and I like it. It says, "If your rather be is different than you're called to be, then you'll never fulfill your destiny." And that is so true. If your rather be is different than you're called to be, then you'll never fulfill your destiny. If we are looking around and saying what we would rather be doing instead of just walking in what we are called to be doing, then we're never gonna walk in our fullness of what God has called us to do and in the way that He has created us and the people that He's going to put in our lives in that calling. We're never going to fulfill that if we're always pining away, looking around instead of looking up. So we've all been given a distinct purpose
a distinct calling. There's no really retreat. There's no seminar. There's no ladies' conference that we can go to that's going to lay it all out for us. There's no shortcut in this. It comes from spending time with Him. It comes from being in His Word and letting Him teach us. It comes from knowing Him personally. You know, I lived for many years knowing a lot about Him, being brought up in the church, but I didn't know Him personally as my Savior. And there could be someone here today that is in the same boat. And I went for many years being prideful because people just assumed that I already knew the Lord. But I knew that I didn't. I knew I had a lot of head knowledge, but there was nothing there. There was no connection. And I pray that if that is, you know, you here today, that you would surrender that. Just our life is so short. Our eternity is so long. And there's not any amount of pride or what people think that should keep us from spending an eternity apart from the Lord. And the alternative is awful. Hell. And being separated from Him and living in that place. So that wasn't even part of what I was going to talk about. But I just want to share with y'all, anybody at any time today, if you want to talk to me about your salvation, I'll be more than happy to talk with you. And it's just surrendering to Him and making that real. We can know a lot, but it's got to be real in our heart. So we got to know Him personally. We got to spend time in His Word and in fellowship with Him. That's how He establishes the work of our hands. And sometimes I come across quotes and different things that really kind of stand out to me. And I came across one. I don't think it's a new quote. I think it's been around. Any of you intellectual ladies in here that read or know poetry and all that kind of stuff, y'all would probably recognize this saying, this quote. But it just stood out to me because I'm like, yes, that is what biblically, that's just a different way of putting it. But there's this quote that says, pay attention, be astounded, and tell about it. Pay attention, be astounded, and then tell about it. And that really has become, like, I've written this down and put it in places in my house so I can, like, think back to this. Because it helps me to live in this way that we're talking about this morning. First off, to pay attention. Sometimes we're just not paying attention. We're just so busy filling up our days with stuff, and we are not paying attention to what the Lord has for us. And that's what we've just talked about this morning, you know, paying attention, hearing from God, being eternally minded. You know, when we're in the line at Walmart, when we're at Chick-fil-A, when we're in the doctor's office or whatever, just paying attention to people around us and you know, being open to opportunities that the Lord gives us to pay attention, so that we can slow down and help those that are around us. And then the second part, be astounded. I don't know about y'all, but I often get complacent in what the Lord has done in my life. And I forget, I mean, just the fact that He saved me. Sometimes we just forget that He loved me when I had absolutely no desire for Him or His ways. And I let that just become just a day in, day out thing that we don't even think of. And pay attention and then be astounded. We need to live our life. You know, we sing Amazing Grace all the time. Do y'all ever stop and, like, think what that song is saying? His grace, it's so undeserved. We don't deserve any grace that He pours into our life for salvation or the grace that teaches us how to live for Him. None of that is deserved. But it's amazing that God, who is so holy and so perfect and He's so merciful, and we're so messed up, and we fail Him all the time, but yet He still pours that grace. And I often just forget that. I mean, I don't know. Am I the only one that just, like, gets so caught up in my little pity party that I just forget all that God's done for me? Psalm 103 is one that I always, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And then it goes on, you know, to say the psalmist is telling himself, don't forget all the benefits
that he's given. He's healed, you know, our diseases. He's forgiven our sins. He's crowned us with loving kindness. I mean, all of these things. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's reminding himself to get excited, to like stop and think about what all you have because of the Lord and what he's done. So we need to live our life not just to make our days count. We need to live our life in a way where we're not just, you know, paying attention and making sure that we're filling our days with what the Lord has for each one of us personally. It's going to look different for all of us in this room, but we need to be astounded with the fact that he would even use us, that he would use us to bring encouragement to someone else. I mean, that's just crazy, because he knows our thoughts. Psalm 139 says that he knows our thoughts before we even speak them. And yet, and I don't know about y'all, my thoughts can be off track at times. That's why we always got to line it up with truth. But yet, knowing how messed up we are, knowing all the baggage, knowing all that stuff, he still wants to use us. And that's craziness when we stop and think about it. So we should be astounded that the Lord would do that. And there's a passage, I don't know, let's see, what time are we at? Yeah, we're not going to be able to read the whole thing. But Psalm 78, I encourage y'all to read this entire psalm when y'all get a chance today. I'm just going to kind of pull out some verses. But the children of Israel, I mean, I can so relate to them. We often think, oh my gosh, you know, the Lord, he had a big, you know, he did so much. You know, he made water come out of the rock for him. He fed them manna. I mean, what are some of the things that he did that were just miraculous? They wandered how long? 40 years with none of their shoes. You know, if y'all have kids, y'all know how quick shoes wear out and jeans get tore up. I know Joyce knows with her boys and with Haley. She's rough on that, too. But for 40 years, he kept the shoes on their feet. He fed them. I mean, he directed them with, you know, with his pillar, his cloud. And I mean, just all of these miraculous things that right now we would be like, what if we saw that take place? But yet the children of Israel didn't do that. And we're thinking they, you know, that's crazy that they wouldn't recognize God's amazingness and how incredible that is. We do that daily in our own life. But there's one passage that I wanted to read. I mean, if you read Psalm 78, it's basically like a history lesson of what all the Lord did for the children of Israel when he had them, kept them in the wilderness. And then you get to, let's see, what verse is what I wanted to read. Verse 32. After all that took place, then verse 32 says, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. That right there, every time I read that passage, it just grips me, because I don't want to spend my days in futility. I don't want it to be said when my life is over that nothing that I did for the Lord counted, that there was very little with eternal value. And here these people, these were his chosen children of Israel, and he just revealed himself in these big, huge, miraculous ways, and yet they still wanted more. And I find myself that way at times. Instead of just being like, wow, Lord, look how faithful you are. Look what you've provided. Look at all these things. Instead, I'm like, wanting more. I'm coming before him constantly wanting more. And we don't want to spend our days that way. We want to live in a way that we are grateful and gracious for the things. We're looking at it with eyes of all of the amazing things that he's done, and not what we think he still needs to do in our lives. So we need to live in a way that we are astounded at the things that God is doing in and through us. Pay attention, be astounded, and then the last thing is to tell about it. We need to be telling people. It's just not, it's one thing to just let the Lord fill our life with all of these blessings and to do what he's done and to just go about our business, but we need to be telling those around us why we live the way we do, why we don't fall apart when trouble happens, or, you know, why do we have joy in the midst of a very difficult season?
we need to let people know why, because there's a difference in our life. We need to tell people about it. And that same passage in Psalm 78, in the very beginning of it, God tells us the value that he puts on telling people about what he does. And I am going to read that part to y'all in Psalm 78. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to thy words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and all known, and our fathers have told us." Basically, I mean, like, you know, this has been told. These are people, you know, it would be like us. We've been in church. We're you know, we've kind of gotten used to all these things that the Lord is doing. And he goes on to say, "We will not hide them from their children, showing them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born and should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." So why do we tell them? You know, why does God want us to not just to pay attention and to be astounded, but to tell? That passage right there tells us so that others are going to set their hope on God, so that we can have an impact to those around us. And y'all, we can make our days count when we begin to live like this. So that's the question, you know, are you making your days count? I don't know what you wrote on your little sheet of paper earlier before we, you know, looked at God's Word and talked about some of these things. But I just want y'all to just to look, just kind of pull them out right now and kind of look over them. And just see, is there anything on there that you know, God did not call you to? Is there anything on there that perhaps is frivolous? I mean, I hope you put, you know, I spend time, and I don't think it can be a bad thing. It just depends on how the Lord is using it. But, I mean, social media, sometimes we spend way too much time on Facebook, and that can make us look around instead of looking up at times. But it can also be a tool that the Lord uses, too, to be an encouragement and a way to get his truth out. But there's things, regardless if this person has it on their list and that is the perfect will of God, we can have that same thing on our list, but it may not be for us. So I just want y'all, when you get home later, to just kind of like look over that list and really be prayerful over that list and just ask the Lord. Sometimes we don't think, but just go before the Lord and ask him, "Lord, as I look through this list, just reveal to me, is there anything in my life that is not what you've called me to do? You know, it's a good thing, but it's not your best thing for me. And I want to live my life in a way that is filled up with things that are going to count for eternity. I want to have the best impact that I can have for you while I'm here, because our life is just so short." So that is what I encourage y'all to do with your little list. And we're going to take a break. And we're going to jump back in with some other things. I'm gonna have a word of prayer, though. And I think there's bathrooms back there. And I think Toya has chocolate, you know, which is so good when you're having to just sit for a while. There's chocolate and what? There's iced coffee in there. That's really good. And all kind of little snacks. So y'all want to grab something to drink, get a snack, use the bathroom. How long did you want to have a break? Like 10 minutes, y'all come back. But I'm going to go ahead and just ask the Lord to just help us in the area that we just looked at. And then we'll gather back in about 10 minutes. So that would be, according to my watch, like 9:50. We'll kind of get back in here if my watch is right. So y'all pray with me. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we acknowledge how sovereign you are and how great you are. Lord, how loving and patient you are with us. And I just thank you so much for this group of women who have carved out time on a Saturday morning away from their family to come and sit here and to be under your word. And we ask, Lord, that you make it count. you help us, Lord, today to hear from you, and Lord, to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers, and that you would reveal anything, Lord, in our lives that Lord, we need to change. It may be something good, but it's not your best for us, and we want to walk in your best, and Lord, we want to be making a difference for you. So we just ask that you would help us in this time, and we just give you praise for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all go take y'all a little break and get you something to drink. Use the bathroom.